If you haven't heard about menopause and skin, you're living under a rock. Today, we're talking about how menopause changes skin, and maybe not your skin, but your 40 plus clients' skin, and what you can do to better support them. Thanks for joining. I'm Doreen, brand and content strategist and former esthetician.
And I'm Suzanne, Sedesca certified esthetician with over 30 years, former spa owner, and now educator mentor to beauty pros.
So today, Suzanne, we're talking about a subject that is everywhere. It's in all my feed and everywhere I turn, which is perimenopause and menopause. If our listeners or viewers are maybe under the age of 40, they may not be getting this information, actually, because perimenopause starts in your early 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, we get into menopause. And like everything that happens to us women, it's going to affect our skin. But before we get kind of really into what happens to the skin, maybe we can just talk a little bit more about what menopause is so that it's just a little easier for our listeners to mm-hmm. understand.
So I know a lot of people say, oh, it can happen earlier than 40. Fun fact, it's only 1% are affected under 40. So it's not as big as what people think it is. It could be the beginning for sure, starting it, maybe just hovering it, especially if you've had kids, things like that, hormone imbalances. But it's typically that 40 to 44. And when people look at it, it's after you've stopped menstruating for 12 months, then you're considered. That's their scientific definition, I guess you could say.
So I just want to clarify a little bit. So there's the term perimenopause, and perimenopause is actually the things that happen to you before you go into menopause. Mm-hmm. And in perimenopause, which usually typically starts in your early 40s, you start to notice some changes, but you're still getting your period. It might be a little bit more irregular. And you might start to notice the changes in your skin in perimenopause. But menopause itself is like a moment in time. It's like the day that it's been 12 months since you've had your period. Mm-hmm. And I think anything after that day is called postmenopause. But I think in general speaking, sometimes people talk about menopause is an umbrella term that includes perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Mm-hmm. And I think for the sake of this episode, if we're saying menopause, we are using it in that broad term to include perimenopause and postmenopause as well, mm-hmm. just because it's easier because the changes that are happening, you know, they kind of go all the way through, and menopause can last up to 10 years. So if you're not in your 40s, this is something to look forward to.
So exciting for you guys. But it's true, because then if you understand this, especially for skincare technicians or body care technicians, the skin is the biggest part that's impacted with everything else. But it's really understanding what happens, because so many people say, I don't know what happened this year. It was like, boom, it just hit. Everything's falling apart. My body, my skin, my hair, my nails. And that's when they awaken to see it. But it really, like you said, did start sooner. It's just a very slow process. And then I feel like you just fall off a cliff and you get up and go, what happened? How'd that happen? It's kind of what it feels like, I think. But really, it's that the big thing of it all is the decrease of estrogen that happens. And then it's a very mm-hmm. slow decline. And then all of a sudden, it could be, you know, medical procedures, it could be medication, it could be a lot of things that cause it to just, it's ended drastically like that. But then we know when that happens, it decreases lots of things, but we're talking skin, it's going to decrease your elastin, collagen production. So that's where you're going to start to see the firmness start to loosen a lot quicker. And that ends up being just body wise. Like people, it's not just the skin, it's the face. People start to notice, you know, I'm like, what's going on with my neck or the back of my arms or my tummy, my inner thighs, or there's like this decrease of elasticity and you see a little more wrinkles. It looks like dehydration, sagginess, yeah, thinner skin, maybe more sensitive, like the cheeks are a little more sensitive than you've ever had in your life, right? It's all of a sudden, why am I so rosy? You know, there's a lot of things, the dryness, the dehydration. There's a lot of
Also,
things.
hyperpigmentation and acne, because, why not kick you when you're down? But I think too, like, this is important to note for any service provider, because if you're a wax tech and your older clients come in, they're going to have thinner, drier skin. You need to take precautions. You need to make sure you're holding that skin real nice and tight. Maybe a bit more than your younger clients, but also like ensuring li you're avoiding lifting and all
And
that.
then the sensitivity, right? They can all of a sudden become more sensitive. Like I've had people reach out saying, I've been waxing my client for years and now she's red. Her legs are red. What's going on? And I said, how old is she? I always ask, is there hormone changes happening? What's going on with her? And that's why we brought this topic up, because it does reflect the whole beauty industry, all services, really.
And one thing we talked about was, I don't think any of us have on the intake form, are you in perimenopause? Have you ex Maybe you do, I don't know. But a lot of times, if you have an age or a birth date for your client, you can kind of guess their age. Depending on how long you've been with your client or your client has been with you, there could be that established relationship and rapport where you can start asking questions. I think at that point, your clients will ask you questions too, being like, I've been noticing my skin's like a lot more sensitive or a lot drier. And then obviously, we're not doctors and can't prescribe, but you can just, bring it up as a, have you thought of, perimenopause or menopause?
I actually always brought it up. It was a conversation because of hormone changes. It affects everything. Like you said, waxing, the skin, for sure. Hair growth, there's a lot of factors involved, right? But it's a way you can ask to say, because the birth date of the person. So if they're in their late 30s, early 40s, I said, how have you been feeling? Anything changing? How's the hormone levels? Like, are you sleeping well? Just ask those things, because then it could affect, or it could be why there's the breakouts or reactions with products, or and some will just say, oh yeah, I'm definitely going through menopause right now. It's like, okay, so what have you experienced? How's your products at home? Can you do the same thing? What about your hair? Like, ask those questions, because those are all, the more information you have a little bit about, without being abrasive into it, especially if you just met the person, is just ask a few questions. You ask permission. Do you mind if I ask you a few more questions? Just so I make the right choices.
Right, because some of these can be misdiagnosed as seasonal changes, like especially dryness and sensitivity and stuff like that, right? So it is important to just know in your head, in your own mind, and for your client, but does it, whether it's seasonal or hormone related, does that change how we treat or what services we would provide our client?
You would think yes.
Why don't you tell
Yes,
us? How?
it would. So I always like, especially when you've had a client for a long time or quite a while, the worst thing we can do is assume you did something on them years ago that you can still do today, because it changes everything. So if they're starting to notice changes like this, again, we're not doctors. Have you been diagnosed by the doctor with this yet? Or get that information that you can. Otherwise, you start off basic level again, because you don't want to irritate their skin. So you start off with that low intensity. Think of it like you're not going to go all crazy on them, especially if they told you they've been noticing these things. We don't know if it's menopause or premenopause. We don't, not sure, right? And sometimes the doctors will just look at them and say, yeah, you're not there. You're too young for that. And they just shoo them away. But yet, as we know, it can be 10 years of this change without it really being medically diagnosed, right?
Also, that's a note, is that you can't medically diag it's hard to medically diagnose if you're in perimenopause because of the change in estrogen levels.
Unless they did
So,
hormone actual testing and stuff, right? Then they
which
know.
they're not going to do because
They're not probably
the
going to do
company.
it.
Most people won't, like, we should say most people won't have that done. So really, it's just a conversation that I think we know our own bodies and your client especially if you've been seeing them, they're going to be mm-hmm. sharing. Trust me, they are going to
They're going to share. Like sometimes I'll say, hey, so what about genetically? Like, did your mom go through it at a certain age? An aunt, and you know, like cousin, sister, whatever it may be. Is there someone you can kind of see that the chances are probably that's what's happening to you too? So then mm-hmm. just take it back to, okay, let's look at the barrier of the skin. Let's look at the hydration, because those are key to make sure they stay stable and strong barrier, good hydration, good lipid barrier level in the skin. So you're starting out simple, right? I mean, that should be the start point of almost all skincare, because then everything else will come along very well and you get better results with. But basically hydration, facial, hydrating products like your hyaluronic acids, or help with the plumping, maintain that health of the skin. You know, when it comes to exfoliation, it's like, you know, you were doing 3 times a week. You know, let's just cut it back so your skin doesn't get irritated. Let's try 2 times a week. Maybe you do an enzyme mm-hmm. peel instead of a granule, or your salicylics that you have in cleansers. You have to start looking at how to scale back a little bit, so it doesn't have that big, oh my God, this isn't working, I've got big changes happening from that last treatment, right? You know, LEDs are great, your red light, your infrareds, like those are always a great add-on to your, I don't mean upsell them, I'm just saying in the treatment itself. You know, have you looked at lymphatic drainage in your massage techniques, or do they do gua shas at home, you know, to help with the soothing and calming side of things? So that low intensity, think of that first step, and then you can kind of start seeing, especially if they did have a big change in skin, because all of a sudden it happens. It's like, oh my God, you know, I don't know what's going on. This first winter, it's like, I'm dry, I'm cracking. It can be that drastic all of a sudden. And they've mm-hmm. not necessarily been diagnosed, like they are in menopause, right? And it's okay to not think that you have to go to that advanced level of treatments. It's like, okay, let's scale it back a bit. Let's just make sure. And you tell them why behind it. So really you're thinking about, you know, alternatives to retinols that act like a retinol, but not irritating like a retinol.
With products that are you talking about like products that are going to complement your low intensity treatments?
Yeah. Or you're using it on them too. I think that is very hard for us that as professionals, we feel like, okay, you're at a medium level peel. We can't go back down. You know, like I've had that conversation with people. I said, why can't you? Why can't you just ease off and go back to that base level? Why do we think we have to keep doing more and more and more and more to get results? It's not necessarily the case, right?
Yeah. And I think, though, there is on that, like there is pressure from clients because, you know, they're noticing the changes and they want firm skin and they want, you know, so it can be that pressure coming from clients. But if you explain why, and that we're going to get there, we're just going to take a different route.
Let's just try this first. And the next time let's look at, you know, at home, you're going to switch and do this now with your products. Let's change your regime up a little bit. It's not necessarily you're selling them anything new. Maybe you just got to change it a little bit. And then maybe the next time you can see if the skin can tolerate more things, a medium intensity. And that's when you can get into your mandelic acids or your some chemical peels, I guess you could say, like, but think of sensitive still and not for a long period of time. I would still consider it just base level and see how they start responding to it. You know, maybe it's microcurrent.
There is also the, before you get any further to medium intensity, I think with the low intensity in replacing the retinol, right? Because a lot of clients are going to want retinol.
Yes.
Because we've heard and heard that, you know, that's the thing to use. There's a natural alternative to retinol that's a little gentler on the skin.
It's coming out in the last, I'd say probably this year is when I've noticed it coming out. Some brands are now focusing their whole one line just around this too. And I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but it's the Bakuchiol. Did I say it right,
Julie? Yeah, I'll put it up on the screen. Yeah, Bakuchiol.
Yeah, it's a natural, from a plant that's natural, and it acts like a retinol without the irritation of it. It's kind of like when people go, oh, I really want glycolic, but well, it's an AHA, but you can do a PHA instead. You don't have the same reactiveness of it. So sometimes if you explain to them, hey, listen, I know you love your retinols, but right now we just got to park that. Let's try this because we know it won't irritate, and you're still going to get, you know, the firmness results, yeah, like the wrinkles. You're still going to get those outcomes, but you just got to switch the ingredient a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is why it's so amazing that, you know, this industry, there's always something new. There's always research and all this stuff that's always coming out. So it's good to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of, I don't know
what education's saying, important to keep going.
Yeah, know what's coming and what's out there so that you can also better serve your clients.
Or maybe you're fortunate enough that you're with a brand that they come out every year with something a little bit different.
Yeah.
And it's more improved, different ingredients. So they start looking at it. And the thing is too, is that people are wanting more, I don't want to say natural, but that holistic side instead of it being machines and chemicals and all this harsh stuff to the face. They're looking at more the holistic, the lymphatic drainage, the gua shas, the softer ingredients, less irritants, that type of thing. So I think that's why you're seeing more of that switch too.
Yeah. Because that goes more with the, instead of anti-aging, we're pro-aging.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just aging. We know we're aging, but let's
slow
it
down.
Let's not fight it.
Slow it down.
Yeah. It's inevitable.
And then if they're ready for that medium, as I was getting into, that's where you're thinking again, like I said, the mild chemical peels, microcurrents for the firmness, ultrasonic or radio frequency is really great, non-aggressive, nothing too much. You know, your ingredients, like a lot of the ingredients you can use throughout, but you know, you just want to watch for intensity. So niacinamide, I mean, has had a big shout out in the last couple of years for sure. That is anti-inflammatory. It's brightening. It strengthens the barrier of the skin. You know, there's calming agents.
We've done a whole episode on it.
Yes, yes, you did. You know, think of calming agents, your allantoins and your pathanols, like that type of thing, bisabola. Because when you start adding intensity, you want to bring the calm to it too. So you're kind of like have the skin not react to this intense. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, but now we'll just add this to calm it down again, right? So it's kind of that back and forth again. Ceramides are really great too, right? Because they're basically they're critical for the barrier of the skin as well. If you're going to get into advanced, this is case by case. Sometimes you're going to see it on a medical side potentially, or you know, general microneedling of what we can do as estheticians at our level. But you still want to look at, you know, afterwards to calm that skin down. Don't allow it to be, yes, you're going to be pink because we just stimulate circulation, that type of thing. But it shouldn't be that they're pink for days and red hot. And if you haven't been paying attention of the changes of microneedling in this last year, you need to get out there, start looking. I actually can go on a blog that Beauty Cult Canada put out not long ago about it. There's a lot of changes with the microneedling, and they're discovering a lot more things that what we should do and what we shouldn't do, or why we do.
I'll link that in the description.
Yeah, exactly. You know, then the medical side, laser rejuvenation, like all those types of things for sure. Medium depth chemical peels, but that's if they have a very strong barrier, healthy barrier, thicker skin. You know, as we get older, you tend to have a thinner skin. So just because you could have medium peels in your 30s, that doesn't mean you can have them in your 50s. So you have to educate your clients and help them understand it's good, because we're giving you what your skin needs today. You know, it's not what you got 20 years ago or 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But again, I'm always about the calming agent, just to kind of fool the skin to say, just calm down. It's okay. We got it. We're going to relax. We're going to hydrate. We're going to soothe. Make sure we didn't do anything to the barriers. So some peptides, ceramides, that type of thing, right? I think if that's why we look at it, how do we re-calm the skin down? Mm. Like my goal is always that any treatment I do, if I can help it, they're not leaving hot red face, especially if they're menopause.
Yeah.
They don't want to have a red hot face when they're done, because sometimes they have hot flashes. So if they have the hot flashes and you're already red, they're going to get hotter and redder. Yeah. So that's why we want to try to look at bringing things down. a little bit more calming effect in that. Yeah.
That makes sense. I love it. I mean, and again, I think it might not be happening to you, but
it's coming. This is,
it's gonna. But you know, you can, you know, be aware of it and to help your clients, and also that curiosity and problem solving when it comes to supporting your clients. If you have any questions for us or suggestions for topics in the future, let us know. We're always open to suggestions. Thanks for listening to Beauty Babble.